celebrated as her could be murdered without, you know, the at least the implicit knowledge of people higher up in the armed forces or even the government and the company, I think is highly improbable. No one in none of the eight who are under arrest had anything personal to gain.
But the government, and has the U.S. been held accountable?
No, I mean, I think, you know, I think I think the U.S. wouldn't, I don't think the U.S. government would, you know, wouldn't admit to bear any responsibility to Bertha's assassination. You know, I think it's important to remember I interviewed her in 2013, just around the elections, and she was publicly denouncing the fact that she had been told and had been made aware that her name appeared at the top of a military hit list in which I think there were 16 activists. She was one of 16 activists. She was telling people this. She publicly denounced
it. We're going to continue this conversation after the broadcast. And we'll post it online. Nina Lakhani, thanks so much for joining us. We have a social media full-time fellowship. Check our website. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Salif Keita Live in Portland on Friday, March 3rd at the Dow Event Center in Portland. Salif Keita is known as the golden voice of Afropop. He combines traditional West African styles with influences from Europe and the Americas. The Spiritual Brothers will open the show. Again, that's Salif Keita Live in Portland on Friday, March 3rd at the Dow Event Center, 631 Northeast Grand Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage, under community events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the premiere screening of Precipice Award-funded animation project Jen Likes Heroin on Thursday, March 9th at 7 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Jen Likes Heroin is an animated short film which takes place at the long-defunct X-Ray Cafe. Following the animation, there will be a showing of the documentary about the X-Ray Cafe called X-Ray Visions, and a short acoustic set by Sean Krogan of The Pinnacles and Cracker Bash. Again, that's a screening of X-Ray Visions and Jen Likes Heroin, and a live performance by Sean Krogan on Thursday, March 9th at 7 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater. 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from ADX, a collaborative hub offering access to shared wood, metal, screen printing, jewelry, and digital design shops through a monthly membership program. The ADX Makerspace Learning Center and Fabrication Shop allows people to bring their ideas to life. Open every day at 417 Southeast 11th in Portland and at adxportland.com.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Thank you.
good morning, good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is Positively Revolting. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And here we are on your community radio station this morning, looking at, returning our attention to the ongoing and continuing war on women. You know, it's the Friday before International Women's Day. This is one of those days, well, you know, every day is International Women's Day in my head, but that says maybe.
That's your head, maybe.
That's my head. This is one of those times where we really look at how are we doing, as people who are marginalized and yet not really a minority by any stretch of the imagination. How's that going? And really, this has been an ever expansive topic since we have began talking about it, because it intersects with just about everything, right? There are pretty much no topics that it does not touch. So this morning, we're looking at pretty traditional topics like what's happening legislatively with reproductive health care, what's happening. But also this morning, wanting to look at the wave of violence, in fact, of murders of transgendered trans women who 6 trans women have been killed since the first of the year, and the year's not very old, right? And they have all been women of color. Excuse me. They have all been women of color. 5 of the women have been Black. 1 was Native American, ranging in age from 21 to 41. And I want to look at that and how, you know, this is really in the intersectionality of racism, of transphobia, homophobia, and of violence against women. And so there's misogyny and sexism, there's trans misogyny, there's racism, there's classism.
A veritable smorgasbord.
All right there, looking at these cases that are tragic and need to be called out and called out publicly. So we have so much to talk about and so little time. Of course, it is also a part of the resistance. It is part, you know, there was the, millions of women's marches, or I should say millions of women marching back there on the Saturday after the happenings, the seating of the president, so. What's up with that? How are women staying engaged in the struggle? How are women new to the struggle starting to understand and deepen their involvement? That's something also I'd love to talk about, because wearing a pink hat and showing up on a Saturday afternoon is really not enough. That's not exactly the resistance. That's a good thing to do one day. But how do you deepen your involvement in the struggle after that? Because I'm not seeing those numbers showing up for immigration marches. I'm not seeing those numbers showing up for other things that deeply affect women in our communities, especially women of color, women who are here being affected by the wave of anti-immigrant sentiment as well. And so what's up with that? These are all things that we would love to discuss with you this morning, oh dear listeners. And the number to call to discuss with us is 503-231-8187. I want to get into some specifics of national legislation that's been proposed coming up in just a moment. But I also would love to talk about identity politics. What's up with that? As we are seeing both conservatives and liberals, mostly white, mostly straight, and most often male, calling for an end to what they are terming polarizing or divisive identity politics.
And what we are calling identity words is code for feminism and anti-racism.
Well, yeah, the whole idea there that they are putting out is that so we can get back to a sense of American unity. And my question is, when
do we think that period was? When was there ever a true, quote, American unity since the invention of this country? I mean, I think that we need to call that what it is. And it's a call for women, for people of color, and for queer people to shut the heck up and be satisfied with our lot in life. Don't rock the boat, baby. That's what I hear when I say, quit talking about gender, quit talking about race, quit talking about class. We're all in this together, people. True that. We are all in this together. Some of us don't act that way. But we all, you know, do share common interests of needing to live on a sustainable planet with justice and human rights towards all people. But the idea that that's a time we can get back to, well, it has not existed in this country since we were first colonized. Let's face facts.
And that's like one person's, a few people's opinion. What I find is very interesting is this time has brought out people's opinions of what unity, what will help us is about. I loved in this article we were talking about the just now, dismissing those who believe in equal representation in politics as vagina voters. It just it doesn't make sense, and you have to still believe in what you believe. Do not sacrifice what you know to be true for some illusion of, is togetherness even the word I want to use? I don't even know if that is. Some illusion of unity with a Democratic Party that, let's face it, does not seem to be able to get over the hump of corporate rule.
Indeed. We already do have a caller. Let's go ahead.
Yeah.
Hey, Jennifer, we hear you are on the line with information about legislation.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. So I am an advocate for sex workers, and Oregon will be leading the way in the war against women and sex. The Oregon legislature is currently in the process of passing the worst laws in the nation against women who work in the sex industry. They are trying to pass two laws that would take away the driver's license of anyone who was found guilty of prostitution services, and they would also take away any sort of professional license that anyone who was found guilty of working in prostitution could apply for, such as like a beautician's license, a real estate license.
Right. Is there? Do you have a number for that bill?
Oh yeah, just a second. They are bills HB 2141 that would take away women's driver's license mm-hmm. who are found guilty of working in prostitution, and HB 2142 that would take away any sort of professional license of women who are found to be working in the
sex trade,
guilty of prostitution. I mean, these bills would completely ruin the lives of anyone who was found to be guilty of prostitution, whether that was an accurate judgment or not. And the Portland Tribune just released a report showing that Hispanic and Latino women were 2.4 times more likely to be convicted of prostitution than white women, and African-American women were 4 times more likely to be convicted of prostitution than white women.
So yeah, I think it's pretty much across the board that we see women of color, people of color, prosecuted at far higher levels than white people, regardless of frequency of who's committing the crimes. We see that in drug charges and drug arrests across the board. And yeah, I would not expect that to be different, sadly.
Yeah. So it doesn't make sense. That's very true. So it doesn't make sense why the legislature is trying to pass these bills. Nowhere in the nation are there laws that make women who work in the sex industry lose their license or lose professional licenses. It doesn't make sense. If a woman is found guilty of working in the prostitution industry, and she works like a 9-to-5 job, and she lives out in Troutdale or Woodburn or on the outskirts of Hillsborough or Beaverton, how is she going to get to her like normal job? how, like, if she had children, how is she going to, like, drive them to school, take them to the doctor?
Yeah, so the punishment does not fit the crime.
The House Bill 2141, a bill to relating to the suspension of driving privileges and creating new provisions. Let's see, the following is a summary. And here it says, unless the court finds compelling circumstances not to order suspension of driving privileges, the court in which a person is convicted of an offense described in this subsection shall order suspension of the person's driving privileges. This subsection applies when a person is convicted of, and it is A, on the list of four things, A, commercial sexual solicitation, under ORS 167.008. B is promoting prostitution. C, compelling prostitution. D, purchasing sex with a minor. And so I have seen references to this in terms of being against sex trafficking and coerced sex trafficking. But we can see clearly that with A, included commercial sexual solicitation, that is not actually all of the truth there, and so it's very that's a very scary thing.
Yeah, in many states they take away the driver's license of the John or person who purchased prostitution or sexual services, but I don't know of any state that takes away the driver's license of the woman who was convicted of.
And of course, another way to go about this is to actually look at destigmatizing sex work and protecting sex workers, legalizing sex work, or regulating it in a way where women or sex workers, I should not just say women, sex workers are in fact treated as human beings and supported in our system.
These bills are going in the complete opposite direction against that. And I believe that any laws that burden women who work in the sex industry are laws against women in general, because statistics show that up to 1/3 of women have worked in some form of adult industry or sex work in their lifetime. And maybe it wasn't you, but maybe you knew a friend who did or had an acquaintance or had a distant relative who worked in that.
I think that is a really important point. Again, going towards the destigmatization, I've had a partner who was in the sex work industry. My mom was in the sex work industry. It's not like something that those other women do over there, who should be shunned forevermore. I mean, this is an economic reality. We live in a capitalist system. And this is about, the world that we make and how we survive in it.
Yeah, and Oregon is known to have a high percentage of minors who work in the sex industry. And I think that just the culture in Oregon contributes to trafficking of minors, because...
How so?
Oregon has a sort of patriarchal, misogynistic culture to it, and there's a lot to it. And these bills, are obviously a product of that, because legislatures, the Oregon legislatures, don't even see these bills as a violation of rights of women.
Yeah, I don't know that Oregon is more so than other states. I think patriarchy and the patronizing attitude of sex workers must be saved and or punished all at the same time is ubiquitous in this country. These bills are pretty horrendous, however.
These bills actually have a lot of support. The two senators, Senator Taylor and Representative Huffman, formed a work group to create these bills, and they also have support from the Multnomah DA's office and strong participation from the Attorney General's office.
Okay. Hey, Jennifer, thank you so much for your call
morning. There's going to be a meetup this Sunday for anyone who is concerned and wants to voice their opposition to these bills in North Portland at Coffee House 5, located at 740 North Chillingworth Street. It's across the street from PCC Cascade, and we'll be meeting from 1:30 to 4:30.
And it's right on the 4 bus line. I know, because I used to get off there all the time.
Yeah, so it's
get off the bus.
To everyone, and we need all the support we can get. Otherwise, you know, all your friends and acquaintances who work in the sex industry are subject to losing their driver's license and losing their ability to make a living. I mean, because a lot of women don't want to work in the industry for the rest of their lives, and they want to go on to get other jobs, such as like being a beautician, real estate, you know, any kind of professional job that requires you to have a license.
Mm-hmm.
A conviction would make you, I mean, lose all prospects for like getting out of the industry and the lifestyle. And so these bills just don't make sense. I mean, they're really out to stigmatize women.
Pretty much.
And sex. And it's like stigmatization of sex in general.
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
No sex in Oregon, although we have the highest rate of underage sex workers. So, I mean, I don't think, I'm not even sure if this applies to them, but that would be a tragedy as well. I mean,
and that's a whole nother topic. And again, you know, when one is an adult and of the age of consent and chooses their work, that's one thing. When minors are trafficked into
different
sex work,
story.
that's a whole nother thing. And then again, we really want to look at who's benefiting from that, who's purchasing sex with minors, and who's selling it. That's a whole nother topic. And thank you again very much for your call. A lot to chew on here, a lot to research and look up about these bills.
Okay,
both of them have been introduced.
Portland, they have some information on it on their Facebook page, SWOC Portland.
All right. And that's the, oh my gosh, I'm trying to remember what that stands for, because we've had women from that organization on our show in the past. All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks
for
so
your
much,
call.
Jennifer.
And again, a lot of information to think about. We have another caller. Let's go ahead and talk to Brian. The number, if you would like to call Positively Revolting this morning, is 503-231-8187. You can also check out our Facebook page, where you can find us, Positively Revolting. And you can follow us in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt. And Brian, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Excellent.
I just heard a little bit of your intro. I just came in from doing some chores, and hope I didn't misinterpret it, but it sounded like you were sort of down on folks for not turning out for events supporting immigrants and some of our most vulnerable people in our community. I just wanted to make a report from the Ron Wyden Town Hall for and any time that immigrants' situation or he had students that were dreamers, and he had a lot of the talk was about some of the Trump administration's movements towards immigrants, and whenever that was brought up, there were standing ovations, and there was so much support in the room. So just wanted to throw that out, that the people that were there were highly supportive.
That's awesome, and that's as it should be. I am wondering about numbers in the streets. I'm wondering about public outrage and continued actions. I think important to be turning out for the town halls.
As a common person, I'm a farmer, and sure. The only reason I can even call your show today is because the weather's been like it's been.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of us are so busy with our lives, but
I get it.
To focus on how many people have been out and been active, and I've sure been spreading the word, and I've been at the town halls. And
that's
I've been
fantastic.
At March, and I've been at everything I can be. So.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, There's probably been about an action a day. And I don't know that that's sustainable for any one person to make it to everyone.
But what I am saying... How many people can call into the radio talk show?
Sure. But what I am saying, Brian, is I question a deepening of commitment. I'm not even questioning it. I'm calling for it. Right. And right. So thank you for turning out to Wyden's town halls. That's awesome. But, you know, it's important to actually link these issues. It's important to understand that the rights of immigrants and the rights of women are intertwined.
Because
our immigrants, right?
Something that was on Amy Goodman's show this morning
uh-huh.
is that I think it was Arkansas is moving to ban Howard Zinn's writings from the classroom.
Yeah.
And there you go. There's an example of trying to make it harder to connect the issues, because that's a book that, or his work, was great at connecting the issues and connecting the dots.
Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't catch which state it was, but I did hear that there was a state looking at banning that, and yeah, it kind of makes my head explode when I think about that.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, thank you very much for your show. And
thank you
very
much.
You're welcome, Brian. Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
All right. Looking at really how a lot of these issues intersect, we have another caller, but I'm just going to go ahead. And I really want to put out there that the murdered trans women as an act of violence against women, and to really just call that what it is. It is, again, where many of our isms, many of our bigotry problems intersect and
end up on the heads of the most vulnerable.
That's exactly it. So I want to just name, I want to give them names, right? Because we hear, you know, trans woman murdered.
Well, and there's so much heinous stuff that is happening right now. There's a war on, as when we were talking about doing this show, and we used to just go, yeah, it's war on women. I'm like, oh, good, now there's a war on everyone. But, yes, give them names.
Look, everyone's caught up. You know, it's just, we are living, I was talking to a friend of mine the beginning of this week, who's in a, you know, pretty marginalized space. And we were talking about the amount of stress that brings into our lives. We've already been very busy community activists, right? Our lives were not exactly stress-free before this, but now we're living in a constant state of emergency. And that's what it feels like. And in fact, as I said to her, yeah, it feels like that because it's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think still it's important to take a deep breath, remain grounded, remain focused, remain centered, remain committed, and see what you can do to deepen your commitment and understanding about how our struggles link. And really, that mythological American unity that I've been reading about.
And keep how, with your community.
How that,
keep supported.
How that linkage of our struggles, realizing that our struggles are very deeply interconnected, that's the kind of unity that I would support, not the marginalizing further and making invisible folks that are facing specific types of oppression.
Keep calm and carry on.
So the women that have been murdered this year, Maysha Caldwell, Jamie Lee Wounded Arrow, those women were killed in January. Joe Stryker and Kiki Collier, China Gibson, and Sierra McKelvin were all murdered in February, which I might say is the shortest month of the year. Three of those women were murdered the same week. And so it is really time to speak out. It is way past time to speak out vehemently when we are hearing about needing to protect women and children by making sure that trans people don't get to use the bathrooms of the gender they identify as, or the gender they are, again, is a huge distraction from the violence that is perpetrated against trans people, specifically trans women, all the time. And know that and call it out for what it is. That is what I say. So,
should we go for a caller?
Let's do that.
Mike.
Good morning.
Oh, Mimi.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Mike left us, and I'm always happy to talk to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for your show today. Honey, what you just said is all so true. I wanted to share with you some of the struggle that our community in Portland's been going through, not that you don't know, but to share what's been going on and how people might want to get involved with what we're trying to bring forward. And that is a lack of response from our mayor for our most vulnerable communities. And our most vulnerable are folks living on the street. And our mayor has not done anything with any of the suggestions and the answers that we've brought him over since day one I showed up at his office. We had a weather emergency crisis, and there was nothing going out for people in the community living on the streets as far as shelter and how to get the word to people about shelter and then how to get them to the shelters. So we've been pushing the mayor to deal with this openly, and he hasn't. He's just been all talk. So in the meantime, we just had a big freeze last week as well. It wasn't as bad as a few weeks ago. But again, did you hear anything about where people should go for shelters? I sure didn't. And with that comes another huge vulnerable community in Portland, and that is our Black community here.
Yeah.
We Kwanis Hayes was killed 21, maybe 22 days ago.
Yeah.
And we've been shutting down city council week after week to demand that they talk about this. And police violence, excessive force from police runs into so many of the things that you've talked about today. It's harassment in the trans community. It's harassment on the streets with people living on the streets. It's harassment over sex workers. This all comes from our cops who have a boss whose name is Wheeler. And Wheeler doesn't do anything about this. So we're going to meet next Wednesday and picket in front of City Hall, protesting his ineffective policies, his inaction, and his fear about doing right for our community. And we're asking that students come out, that sex workers come out, that anybody who has been affected by oppression in this city and the lack of positive change from our city council for us, for the people, come and picket with us.
And what time is this going to be, Mimi?
It's going to be, we're gathering at 9, and we'll be
a.m., I presume.
9 a.m., yeah. Right now there's some construction at City Hall, and so we're not sure if it's going to be at the Portland building or at City Hall. It depends where they're doing city council. It's going to be there, whichever building it'll be in. There is a Facebook page for this, and it's, I have to find glasses because we old folks.
I understand.
Reading glasses, yes. Yeah, so while I'm doing that, and
I found my arm was not long enough this morning when I was first attempting to read a text that came in to me before I was fully awake.
It's such a problem when we can't see anymore. Join Picket Line Against Mayor Wheeler is what the Facebook page is called. Join Picket Line Against Mayor Wheeler. So if you just look up Join Picket Line, and it's on March 8th, and that is International Women's Day.
Indeed, it is.
And I'm asking people to come together in solidarity of all groups, of all people oppressed, and demand that our city stop oppressing all of us. So I hope that you can all join us. And there's something to do for those who don't know what they can do.
Absolutely. I will go ahead and share that event on our Facebook page, and I'll do that right now. Again, that's Join Picket Line Against Mayor Wheeler's Policies. And look at that, you're hosting it. That's 9 to noon next Wednesday, and we'll go ahead and post that now on the Positively Revolting page.
I did want to say one thing, and what the mayor decided to do as of the shutdown, which happened this past Wednesday, is he's decided to change the policy that exists right now, which is that if we get thrown out of city council, we have to be allowed back within 24 hours because it's a public meeting. And what he wants to do now in response to our shutting down council five times in the last month and a half is create a law, a new policy, and bring it to the court that says he can keep us out for a year.
Whoa.
So this is suppression of public voice in a public meeting held for our city. And this is because we've come to him 5 weeks in a row to demand answers for our houseless issue, especially in inclement weather condition, and answers to police oppression and answers to police killing of innocent black people. This is his response.
Thank you very much, Mimi, for the
Thank
information.
You very much.
And thanks very much for your work. Take care. 503-231-8187 is the number to call if you too would like to join us. I want to get into some of the specifics around federal legislation that is, threatening Planned Parenthood.
My favorite.
Yes.
I have a favorite.
Lynn's favorite piece of legislation.
S-241. Protect funding for women's health care. Now, when I saw that that was sponsored by Senator Joni Ernst, I knew something was up. This is one of the craziest Tea Party senators. She's from Iowa, the junior senator from Iowa. Her ads when she was running one of the things was her castrating a pig. And it sounds so good, doesn't it? Protect funding for women's health care. But
who
I was suspicious.
Want to
I was suspicious when I saw Joni Ernst's name. And of course, it's a bill to prohibit funding for Planned Parenthood of America. Apparently, the one that's in the House now is not enough for her. It got assigned to a congressional committee on January 30th, which will consider it before possibly sending it to the House. Or hopefully, that is often committee is often where insane bills go to die.
So
we can only hope.
Again, it's in the same category as the Oregon legislation that we had talked about earlier on the show. That is, it's been introduced, and that's about it. So, time to start looking at these bills, educating ourselves on these bills, and do what we need to do to make sure that we are not falling for this. Repressive legislation. Let's just go ahead and say that, because I don't think I can actually say on the air the other words that were jamming into my mouth. The Protect Funding for Women's Health Care Act, and the thing I really love is that the basically it has about the same effect. It's nearly the same as the House Bill 354. Which is at least more honestly named the Defund Planned Parenthood Act. So, again, both of them have almost identical
and
language.
Both their sponsors are women.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Both have pretty near identical language, talking about the wondrousness of community, county, and state health clinics all provide healthcare for women, STD screenings, cancer screenings of the cervix and breast cancer screenings, well child care, and these sorts of things. But in fact, not abortion, right? And so this is really one of those ways that the legislation again is really attacking the rights of women to choose sovereignty over their bodies and to, in fact, force women to be incubators. There's another bill, the HB, I don't have the number, but I bet you could look at that in about 3 seconds. It's the Heartbeat Protection Act.
Yeah, HR 490. And when I saw Steve King, Representative Steve King was the sponsor of this bill, I knew it would be not good.
Right. So,
And think of it, dear listeners, the Heartbeat Protection Act. What do you think it's about?
So first of all, it requires doctors to check for a fetal heartbeat, and then prohibits abortion if a fetal heartbeat is detected. It does specify that the women would not be prosecuted who would be seeking abortion, but doctors performing an abortion if a heartbeat is detected would be prosecuted. So longtime listeners to the show probably know I used to work in an abortion clinic. Heartbeats get detected
way early.
Pretty much just past zygote stage. So that's effectively banning abortion. Then there's the
it was ever referred popular, to committee.
Then there's the ever popular HB 36, the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which prohibits abortions of fetuses at 20 weeks. Except in cases where carrying the pregnancy to term is a clear threat to a woman's physical health or the pregnancy resulted from rape or incest, with a lot of details about what it would take to prove that the pregnancy resulted from rape or incest.
Unless it's...
Also, the psychological health of the woman is not to be considered, and it actually does say that. It's just the physical health. So... Again, pretty draconian. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, let's just say there's not a consensus of scientists and medical professionals about fetal pain. That's still really in the uncharted, you know, territory. There's not a strong consensus there. So
there's a lot of projection, though.
There's a lot of projection.
And, of course, we had... Rick Santorum this week being quoted as saying that a pregnancy resulting from rape would be a comfort to the woman.
Because at least a blessed event has come out of something so horrible.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Rick Santorum. Always just full of wisdom, that guy. Full
crazy
of something. Let's talk to Camilo. Camilo, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Going to reveal an event to protect a very well-known woman who's a champion of refugees everywhere. She's based in New York, but she has representatives all over the world. And it's Lady Liberty. There is going to be a ceremony to rescue Lady Liberty on March 19th at 2 p.m. at the offices of the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services.
Camila, did you see the somebody put a resist sign up on her? Did you see that?
On Lady Liberty?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. And we're going to.
Do you know who did that? I didn't know who did it.
No, I don't.
Okay, just curious.
But we're
on,
going to
with what you're saying.
We're going to rescue her here in Portland from the offices of the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services at 1455 Northwest Overton Street, March 19th, 2 p.m.
Okay.
And we're going to march from there to the Wall of Freedom, where she will be liberated and some ceremony and flowers will be offered on her behalf.
All right.
There's a Facebook page, an events page under Rescue Lady Liberty. You could share that.
I absolutely will.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Camilo, for your call and your work.
Right.
Take care.
I thought Greenpeace when I saw the
there's a lot of people that do banner
I know, meetings. I know.
A lot of people do banner
But somebody
meetings.
Climbed up there.
It's a, you know, there was also that, the crane. That was just behind the White House that had the giant resistance banner. That was a wonderful backdrop. There's a lot to be done, right? And as we are looking at a state of emergency, it is important to be active. I get that not everyone can go to everything.
People need to do what calls to them.
Exactly so. But if you find yourself only going to stuff that's predominantly white, I just want you to check yourself.
And it's not as much fun.
So I just, you know, I think that that's super important, right?
Yeah.
That, and if you find yourself maybe not really knowing what to think about all this talk about trans women and trans issues, and you know, it's just, it's all, you know, it makes you uncomfortable. Check yourself. Why does it make you uncomfortable? Check yourself. You find all this talk about people without documents. Well, you know, check yourself, right? Again, all struggle is the same struggle. We are all in this together, or we really it's not a good future. I'm just going to go ahead and put it there. We need each other. We need to be there for each other. We need to show up for each other. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. If you would like to join us, you can do it here on the air. Once a week, of course, is not enough to really engage in these discussions and share these bits of information. So we also have our Facebook page. You can go to our Facebook page and like us, Positively Revolting. You can also check out the Twitterverse. You can find us in Twitter at Positive Revolt.
Absolutely. And let us go to Mike.
I think Mike is gone.
Mike, he did go.
Yep.
Bye-bye again.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mike.
Sorry, I didn't keep up on the literature.
It's a patience thing. It's true. But, so what do you, you know, as we look at a way going forward with so much to do, again, important to take care of yourself, important to be active, though. And I'm always one to put forward the idea that one must be creative and enjoy themselves, even as we fight fascism, even as the stakes are high. It's super important. That makes it sustainable. If it's not fun, it's not sustainable. I'm going to go ahead and mention a friend and really a hero of mine who passed away 20 years ago yesterday, and that's Judy Berry. Judy Berry was an organizer extraordinaire, and I met her, got the really just amazing good fortune of meeting Judy in the mid-90s when she was a guest on our show. She was a Greenpeace. She was an Earth First activist in the Redwoods. She was a feminist organizer and did a lot of clinic escorting in Ukiah. She also was a union organizer, and actually at the ELAW conference, public interest law conference that focuses on the environment every year in Eugene. She was one of the people who came forward to start making alliances between timber workers and environmentalists. And that was a very powerful point in the 90s in the movement to protect public lands and old growth. She was tireless working for the Headwaters Alliance in Northern California, and we developed a friendship after her appearance on the show. She also was a target of a car bomb. She was bombed in the early 90s and nearly killed, but that actually did not kill her. And she did die in 97, March 2nd, 97, from breast cancer. And so she was a feminist organizer, union organizer, an Earth First organizer, a fiddle player, and that woman knew how to have a good time. And she was like serious as a heart attack, and one of the funniest, warmest, and most humane people I've ever had the good fortune to know. So, you know, here's to Judy. I always like to recognize her again, throughout the year, but especially around now, especially, you know, on this, the anniversary of her parting. And, you know, again, to me, she was the embodiment of somebody who was able to organize sustainably and who really got the importance of connecting struggles, and who really got the importance of not giving in to cynicism. She had a totally sarcastic sense of humor.
That's different, though.
But she never gave in to cynicism. And one of her best essays was, I can only remember the subtitle, but Why I Am Not a Misanthrope. You know, it was like she loved people and refused to give in to the you know, we are a scourge on the planet sort of ideology.
Which is slightly tempting.
You know, now and again, it is slightly tempting, and yet no.
No, I know.
No, Flynn.
I know,
pull
I know.
Pull back. You know, and it's important, again, and it's important to demonstrate it's acting out of a place of love. From acting out of a place of love. I want to point out International Women's Day. Since we've talked about International Women's Day, we're talking about immigrants and immigrant rights, and have taken that topic not only this morning, but it's a topic we'll be revisiting unfortunately, many times. I say unfortunately because, you know, the reason it is in the forefront is because there is such oppression and fear and, well, yeah, oppression in the community at this time. It's important to note that as we look at International Women's Day, March 8th, next week, that started as a commemoration of the Shirtwaist Triangle factory fire. And that was in New York City.
And what year was
primarily,
that?
Oh gosh,
early in the last century.
Yeah, early 20th century. I'm thinking 1911, but I'm not positive. God knows I've written papers on it. I should have that date emblazoned in my mind. But let's just say around then, first decade or so of the 20th century. And it's primarily immigrant women that were killed in that situation. Again, it is looking at workers' rights, looking at women's rights, looking at the right to actually make a living wage and to have laws that protect us instead of oppress us. That's what we want, right? That's the current, that was the struggle then. It's the struggle now. Mm-hmm. Righty-o. So, again, 503-231-8187 is the number to call if you would like to join us on the air.
I was just looking over some of the other, this is from an article called Proof of the GOP War on Women, but, you know, I don't blame this just on the GOP, though they are very robustly trying to do this. Anyway, this is a No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act, which would limit the rape exemption to forcible rape, because I guess there's another kind? I don't know. And would have defined many rapes, for example, statutory rape of minors, that's a non-forcible rape. Mother Jones has reported another aspect of this legislation, that the IRS would be turned into abortion cops. Were this to become law, people could end up in an audit, the subject of which could be abortion, rape, and incest. And said Christopher Byrne, the head of tax analysis and nonpartisan non-for-profit tax policy group. If you pass a law like this, the IRS would be required to enforce it. How about that? That's a new little wrinkle.
That's a new one.
That's a new little wrinkle.
Look, they're getting creative, Lynn. Okay, not really. Not really creative to continue oppression.
HR3 is this bill.
But this is actually a time to get serious about fighting back. You know, there has been a wave of consciousness. You know, Melody, who I started the show with in 1994, we've just passed our 23rd anniversary. It was
the first
Friday of February that we, Melody used to say, reality is when it happens to you. And there's been a lot of criticism around people who are suddenly like, whoa, something's gone wrong in this country. Whoa, I need to speak out about it. There's been some criticism from folks who have been engaged in a much longer struggle, like for our lives, that, you know, well, glad you finally noticed, you know. But I think there's that feeling, and that's a genuine feeling.
I know.
You know, because it does mean that you've had the privilege not to actually notice that oppression exists in this country. Okay. I'm happy you're in the struggle now. I'm happy you're aware now. Those other feelings, you know, people that have that kind of anger, it's great. We can talk to each other about
that. Or some folks that just thought, this is just the way it is. They could have been oppressed. It's just the way it is. Had finally gotten a spark.
And realized, oh my gosh, things seem to have just gotten a lot worse. And now maybe we can get it back to what, again, is my big question. But it's the time to move forward, right? So we have a lot of attention focused on social change. We have a lot of attention focused on resisting fascism. Let's use this moment. Let's use these opportunities to really connect with each other and to educate each other and to move forward together. Because, in fact, this is that time, as we have a lot of new eyes open and a lot of new hands in the struggle, this is a time to collectively move forward. There's an article in Salon that Lynn has referred to several times this morning, and it's called Fighting Back Against Anti-Feminist Backlash, Women Can Win the War, the Trump Era's New Culture War. And I think that it's important it's an important article. It's good. Especially, you know, like galvanizing is the fact that the man that has just taken the White House, you know, has admitted to sexually assaulting women and thought it was a great joke. That
locker room humor,
you know, is not okay. So of course we need to call that out. Of course we need to be active. Let's actually look at what we want. You know, what's on the other side of this? How is it that we can not just hold off further repression, but how can we actually come out of this stronger in a more humane and just world? That's what I'm interested in working towards. The article is by Amanda Marcotti, and she does note that, you know, we have the advantage of this point of social media, that we can use that to our advantage, that we can move forward together. And she says, remember, even when times are tough, our turn will come. The 80s were a new low point for feminists, but they kept working on issues and struggling and refusing to give in. Eventually, their stubbornness paid off. She points to the Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill debacle, putting gender inequality in the spotlight again. She says women have the leverage here. She says we have more women in Congress than ever before. I'm going to put out there that I'm not sure that that matters so much. Because as Lynn has pointed out, the two bills that defund Planned Parenthood, whether you call them protecting funding for women's health care or defund Planned Parenthood, thank you very much, that these were both introduced by women. So, you know, Phyllis Schlafly was a woman, and so was Margaret Thatcher. So is Kellyanne Conway. So, again, there's a point past which we need to look at the content and philosophies that are being promoted as well. Women's workforce participation rates are sky high, notes the author of this article. More women are getting college degrees. Women are coming into power. But we need to know what we do with that power is what I'm going to add. How do we use that power? Do we use it to bring more people in and to actually try to turn the system over and create something new, create something different that, in fact, recognizes us all as human beings with full rights? That's the world I'm moving towards. That's what I want. What about you, Lynn?
Sounds like a good idea. I couldn't argue with that.
Fantastic.
Well, I could, but it would be just for argument's sake, and that's all. We don't want to do that.
No, we don't. And we thank you very much, dear listener, for joining us again on Positively Revolting. You'll want to stay tuned to KBOO as Pacific Underground is up next discussing the myth and stigma around mental health issues. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary. 10:15, you'll be hearing Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, and 11 o'clock, Radio Geekly debriefs on their experience at Wizard World Comic Con. Here's a spoiler alert, it's going to intersect with women and how women are viewed and treated, and forecasts the upcoming 2017 convention season. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not yet a KBOO member, go to our website, kboo.fm, and join now. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
What would you have instead?
This is it. cast your vote.
Join us on Saturday, March 25th for an Archives Database Edit-a-thon and party. This event will run from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We are recruiting current and past KBOO volunteers and listeners who hold knowledge of KBOO's 49-year history, and we are recruiting archivists, librarians, and any other person that enjoys information seeking and data entry to document this collective knowledge.